Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erevin Daf Yud Gimel. On the bottom of Yud Beis, Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Omer Talmud Echad V'chulu, Rabbi Kiva Omer Azeh V'azeh Nechelku. We're going back to our Mishnah, which told us what is the proper Hechsher Mavi, the proper adaptation of the Mavi to enable carrying within it. So the Tanakhama begins by presenting a machloikis. Beshami hold, we require a lechi and a koira. We still say either lechi or koira are sufficient. The Mishnah proceeded to tell us that there was a certain Talmud who quoted to Rabbi Kiva in the name of Rabbi Yishmael that it depends on the size of the entranceway to the Mavi. So if the entranceway is smaller than 4 amos, there is no machlekes. All agree that a lechi or koira are sufficient. Rabbi Kiva responded by saying, no, al zev az anechelku. Actually, on both cases, the machlekes is meant to be applied. So in all cases, Bishami require a lechi and koira, and Basil either one or the other. So we don't differentiate based on the size of the mavi, which actually concurs with the Tanakhama, the way he presented the machlekes, without any differentiation regarding size of the mavi. Says the Gemara, if so, Rabbi Kiva is merely reflecting the shita of the Tanakhama. What is he coming to add? Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, hainu Tanakhama. He's mirroring Tanakhama, who also maintains that the machlekes between the Shammai and Basil pertains to all situations. Says the Gemara, there's something here that is a point of contention. Ike benayu. What is between them, between Rabbi Kiva and Tanakhama? The following case. The Rav Achli, the halacha that Rav Achli taught us, Vitema, some say it was Rav Yechiel, which was regarding that very narrow mavi, less than 4 tefachim, which is less than a shir Pesach. So Rav Achlai taught us that there's no need to even have a lechi or koira there, due to the fact that it's so small, it's not even a shir of a doorway. So this halacha is the point of disagreement between Rav Akiva and the Tanakhama. There needs to be something that they're disagreeing about. So one will agree with Rav Achlai and maintain that such a small mavi doesn't need any tikkun, and the other shita will disagree. V'leim yisaymi. Now, it's not clear. There's no conclusion here on who says what. It's either the Tanakhama or Rabbi Kiva saying one way or the other, but they're certainly having a disagreement regarding this halach. Continues the Gemara. Tani will learn to Nebrais. Omar Rabbi Kiva. Loi Omar Rabbi Shmuel Dovarze. So he expressed his displeasure at what this certain Talmud was quoting in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that when it's a small size mavi, there's no machlokes between Shammai and Basil. Rabbi Kiva says it can't be. Rabbi Shmuel never said this. I know Rabbi Shmuel as a chacham, wise man. It can't be that he would differentiate based on the size of the mavi. Ella oisi Talmud Amud Avazet was actually the Talmud himself who composed this halacha. Halacha goes to Talmud, and actually the halacha follows the opinion of this Talmud. This seems to be an inherent kasha here. Hagufa kasha, it's inherently a contradiction. First you begin by saying, apparently it's incorrect, then you praise him. Amris lo yomar bishmol davazet. First you begin by saying, it's so inaccurate, it can't be, bishmol even said this. Almas lesel chasakavasei, apparently the halacha does not follow this position. And then you conclude by saying, halacha kaysa Talmud, halacha follows the position of this Talmud. Says the Gemara, actually, he disagreed with the Talmud. But why did he conclude in a favorable manner? The only reason why Rabbi Kiva concluded in that manner was to create a good impression so that the others will be motivated to learn and to delve into learning, to expound. To go ahead and to be mechadet, sharpen them, to inspire them to learn. Let's see Rashi, 9 lines from the top. The only reason why he said that, to sharpen them, to motivate them, that they should apply themselves properly to Torah. They should develop pilpul, they should expound in Torah. That's why he praised this Talmud in their presence, despite the fact that he didn't really agree with what he said, but he wanted to motivate the other Talmidim. Look at the success of a Talmud who expounds, who invests, you should do likewise. Continues the Gemara. He actually says that Rishmal didn't actually say halacha is a Talmud. He merely said nirin itma. It appears. Itma means this is how we learned. Meaning, we learned that Rishmal only said nirin. It appears that the halacha follows what this Talmud says. Meaning, he seems to be saying something good. So it was merely a praise. He didn't actually say that halacha follows the shita, but he was praising him to inspire the other Talmidim, look at what you can achieve if you invest properly in Torah. Continues the Gemara. Omer b'shum alevi. So getting back to this Talmud who learned something from Rishmol and related to Rabbi Kiva. So who was this Talmud? Omer b'shum alevi, called Malkam Shata Moitze. Whenever you find this description, Mishum Talmud Echad, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Talmud Echad. So this Talmud quoted something from Rabbi Shmuel Lefnei Rabbi Kiva. Who was this person? Who was this Talmud? Einai Ela Rabbi Meir. Apparently this was none other than Rabbi Meir. Sheshimesh es Rabbi Shmuel es Rabbi Kiva. He learned Torah by both, by Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. So it makes sense that he would quote something from Rabbi Shmuel in front of Rabbi Kiva, who was the next stop after Rabbi Shmuel. The Sanhedrin learned in the Brice, Omer Rabbi Meir, Kshayisi, this is Gersa Loimei Torah, when I was learning Torah, Eitz Rishmol. So Rabbi Meir was a scribe, he was a sefer. So during that point in my life, Hayisi Matil Kankantam Sechadoy, I would insert this ingredient called Kankantam, which prevents the writing, the ink from getting erased. I would actually add it, Lesechadoy, into my ink. And Rabbi Shmol didn't object to me adding this ingredient. But later on, Kshabasi Eitzer Rakiva, when I came before Rakiva to learn Torah, Asralai, he objected, he didn't let me put the Kankantam. Says the Gemara. So we see from here that he began first by Bishmol and then proceeded to learn by Rakiva. And when it comes to the Kankantam issue, Rabbi Shmol was okay with it. Rabbi Kiva objected. Says more, Eini, is this the proper version of events? We find that it was actually in the reverse. V'amar Rabbi Yudam Shmuel Mishum Rav Meir Kshayisi Loimed Torah Eitz Rabbi Kiva. Initially, when I was learning by Rabbi Kiva, Hayisi Matel Kankantam Sechadoy, I would place the Kankantam into the ink. V'lo Yom Ali Dover, and he didn't object. Ukshabasi Eitz Rabbi Shmuel, and then when I followed Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Ali, he turned to me and he asked me, B'ni, my son, Ma Malachtach, what's your profession? Amar Tilei, I told him, Lav Lorani, I'm a cipher. I write Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzahs. Amar li, so he told me, B'ni, my son, you must be very careful. Have a zor b'malachtecha, be careful with your malacha. Shal malachtecha, malacha shamayim. It's a heavenly, spiritual profession. Malacha shamayim, you must be very careful. Shema ata machas or isachas. Perhaps you'll leave out a letter from a word, oy miyata or isachas, or add an unnecessary letter. Nimseso machavas kolam kuloi. You're going to cause destruction, spiritual destruction, to the whole world. Let's see Rashi inside. 16 lines from the top. Mechasor is achas. Perhaps if you're going to leave out, delete one letter. Says Rashi, for example, the pasuk b'Hashem alikim emes. So the word emes, im techasor aleph, if you delete that aleph, harayate machari, destroying, because emes without an aleph, it's very terrible to describe Hashem in that manner. Or adding a letter, Vayidaber Hashem. So if you're writing those words, in Toisev Yisachas, if you add another letter, instead of Vayidaber Hashem, you write V'tichtoi Vayidabru, plural, and say Samachavi, destroying, because the Sefer Torah will contain content which negates the very fundamentals of our existence. So he was very... He was very concerned. He says, you must be very careful with your accuracy of the writing. So Rav Meir responded, Amartilo, says the Gemara, Amartilo, I responded to him, not to worry. Dover echad yeshli v'kankantam shumay. I have this certain ingredient, which is called kankantam. Shani matal sechad joy that I add into the ink. So then he responded to him. Now the Gemara soon will explain how is this exactly relating to the concern of adding or omitting a letter. The Gemara soon will explain. In any case, when I mentioned to him this ingredient, this kankantim, which does not allow for erasure, Omer Ali, so Rishmo responded to me, can one do that? Can one put kankantim into the ink? Doesn't the Torah say, so this is regarding the parsha of Soita, the woman who strayed from her husband, so they would take a piece of parchment, write some sukkim on it, which is the parsha of Soita, and erase, rub out the ink into the water and give it to drink. So the pasuk says, v'kasav, you meant to write, and then, umocha, go ahead and rub it out into the water. Apparently, it has the potential to be erased. Ksav shiyoch limchis, or limochis. It's a ksav that needs to have the potential to be erased. So apparently it cannot be written in a manner where it's going to be permanent with this kankantim. And Tosis explains, apparently he held that just as Pasha Soita is meant to be written in this manner where it can be erased, likewise the entire Torah is meant to be written in this manner, either it was a Gzera Shava or it's a Dindra Bonan. In any case, he objected to my using kankantim. Okay, let's go back and analyze the discussion here. So Bishmal told me, be very careful with the accuracy of your writing, because the whole world depends on it. And he responded, look, I have this kankantam which prevents erasure. Maika Amalei, what did Rishmol tell him? Or Maika Mahadalei? And what did he respond to? Meaning, how was Rameh's response regarding the kankantam corresponding to Rishmol's concern? Says Marachik Amalei, this is how he responded to him. This is how he related to his concern. Firstly, he said, Loi mi boye b'chaseres b'seres. Not to mention, when it comes to omitting letters or adding letters, I'm not liable to err, to book in, because I'm well versed in the content of what I'm writing. But even perhaps to be concerned about a fly that might show up, he might come along and sit down, perch himself on that right corner of the dalet, and cause it to get erased, and turn it into a resh, which is going to have great consequences. Rashi in Soita says, for instance, in the pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right, the one Hashem, he might turn that dal into a resh, Hashem Acher. So that's very terrible. Is that a concern? So regarding that, he responded, look, I addressed that as well. Dover Echad Yeshlev Kankantem Shema, I have this ingredient of kankantim, shani matal lechadjoy, which I place into the ink, which will prevent the erasing from taking place and the fly from wreaking havoc. So two concerns, and he addressed them both. Okay, at any rate, let's go back to the two narrations of events here, of the versions of events. We have number one up on top, the Braisa, where Meir first came to Rabbi Yishmael, and then proceeded to Rabbi Akiva. However, in the second version of events, the narration seems to take on a different sequence. First, he was by Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Yishmael. That's number one problem, a historical problem here. Number two, there seems to be another contradiction, a halachic contradiction, because initially, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Meir related that when he was by Rabbi Akiva, when he was by Rabbi Yishmael, actually, and he told them about the kankantam, he didn't object. But then when he proceeded to Rabbi Akiva, he objected. So it was Rabbi Shmuel who was okay with it, Rabbi Akiva who was against it. In the second version of events, it was just the opposite. Rabbi Meir tells us that when he was Rabbi Akiva, he was okay with it. Rabbi Shmuel was the one who objected to the kankantam. So we have two kashas here. Kashas shimush hashimush. Number one, regarding the sequence of events. Who was he Meshamish first? Where did he learn first? Was it Rabbi Akiva or was it Rabbi Shmuel? Number two, Kashya Asra Asra. Who was the one who prohibited the Kankantim? Was it Rabbi Akiva or was it Rabbi Shmuel? Says Mabishlai Meshimash Hashimash like Kashya. That first Kashya regarding the sequence of events, that can be explained easily. Mikara Asra Lekamed Rabbi Akiva. Because initially, he approached Rabbi Akiva to learn from him, but he was just too deep. He couldn't relate to it. Since he couldn't relate to his depth, also so he proceeded to learn by Bishmol. He became a Gemara and he learned the Gemara, meaning the Mishnayos. He had all the facts clear and straight, and now he was ready to proceed to the next level, to go to Rabbi Akiva and delve into the depths of Torah. V'hada asal k'meid Rekiva v'sava svar, and he learned the svara, the proper understanding, and the depth of Torah. So both are true. Initially, he was a Rekiva, proceeded to Rishma, and then back to Rekiva. So that answers that question. Ela asra asra kasha, but the other question regarding who was the one who said Kankanta was asra, that seems to be difficult. Kasha indeed, we leave it with difficulty. At this point in the Gemara, they didn't have any approach to resolve this kasha. In any rate, we have one shita. It was either Rekiva or Bishma who did not allow using Kankantim for the entire Torah. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Meir Hoya Omer. So Rabbi Yehuda is quoting Rabbi Meir. La Koil Matilim Kankantim. Let's say Chadjoy. Regarding any form of writing, say for Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzos, one may use Joy with the Kankantim. Chutz Mipasha Soita, except when he's writing the portion of Soita, those Psukim, even if it's in the Sefer Torah itself, he should make sure that he leaves out the Kankantim, so he writes it in a manner where it can be erased. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmoy, Rabbi Yaakov quoted Rabbi Meir a bit different. You can use Kankantim in your ink when writing anything except Chutz Mipasha Soita Sheva Migdash, except when you're writing the Parsha Soita, which is being used in the Beis HaMikdash to feed the Soita. But apparently, he's not concerned with the Parsha Soita, which is within the Sefer Torah itself. My Benayu, what is the halachic difference here between these two approaches, between Rabbi Yehuda's quote of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov's quote of Rabbi Meir? Or Rabbi Yirmiyah? Very simple. Limchak bot lo min ha-Torah k'Benayu. The question here is, can one use the psukim that are already written in the Sefer Torah? So it wasn't written for the sake of the Isha, but it was contained within the, your standard, typical Sefer Torah. Can that be used? Can you erase that for the sake of the Soita? So Rabbi Yehuda holds, yes, you can. Therefore, he says, you must make sure to write the psukim in the Sefer Torah properly in a manner where they can be erased. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov holds, you cannot use the Sefer Torah for this purpose. Therefore, he's not concerned about using Kankantim throughout the entire Sefer Torah. The only exclusion is the Parsha Soita Shuvah Migdash, the actual Parsha which is written for the sake of the Soita. Continues the Gemara. V'hani Tanoi, k'hani Tanoi. These Tanoim seem to be compatible with another Machlekes Tanoim, which seem to be having the same Machlekes, whether or not one may use the Sefer Torah itself for the Soita. The Sani, as we learned, Ein Megilosa K'sheira L'hashkas Soita Acheres. So they went ahead and they wrote a Megillah, this parchment, with a psukim, with a certain woman in mind. Tanakama says you cannot decide to use that for a different woman, because it wasn't written for the sake of the other Isha. Rav Acha bar Yosha Amar, he says you could. Megillah Sakshera, the Megillah of one woman, is kosher lahashkas b'sayt acheres, to use it to give to drink to a different site. Says more, apparently the two things are related. Meaning, Tanakamu says, you cannot divert the Megillah from one woman to the other. Holds that, likewise, when it comes to the Sefer Torah, you can't use the Sefer Torah for the Soita, because it wasn't written with her in mind. Whereas Rabbi Achi holds, you can use the Sefer Torah, just as he allows using the Megillah that was written for the sake of one Isha. You can divert it for a different Isha. Amra Papa, perhaps the two things are unrelated. Dumalai, perhaps that's not the case. Atkan, loika Omar, Tanakama Hasam. Perhaps the Tanakama, in the case of diverting the Megillah from one woman to the other, it's only over there that he doesn't allow it to be done. It's only Elakivan de Intik, Lishum Rachel, since it was already designated, set aside for Rachel's sake, Sulay Hajra Mintika Lishum Leah. It no longer can be designated and set aside for Leah. It was already labeled for Rachel. It can't be diverted any longer. That's over there. Aval gabe soita, the stoma michtava. However, a Sefer Torah, which was written undefined, undesignated, it was just a Sefer Torah. Hachanami de machkina. Perhaps you can go ahead and erase the Sefer Torah for the sake of the Isha. So although he's machmer over there, perhaps when it comes to the Sefer Torah, he would allow. Likewise, when it comes to the other Tana, Omar Rab Nachman Yitzchak, Dum Aloy, perhaps, became the friendship. Atkan like Omar Rab Achi, Ba'isha Hassam. It's only over there that Rab Achi Ba'isha allows to divert the Megillah from one woman to the other. Ella, it's only because the Ichtav Mias, the Shem Soita Ba'olam, because it was written, at any rate, for the sake of a Soita. So, it was designated to be fed to a Soita. Therefore, if she doesn't need it, give it to the Aldisha. However, Torah, which was written for the sake of learning, for a different purpose, different function, perhaps you cannot use the Sefer Torah to give to the Soita. So we have two machlekes. One is, can you use the Sefer Torah or not? Another machlek is whether you can use the Megillah, which was designated for one Isha, can it be diverted to a different Isha? The Gemara concludes that these two machlekes are unrelated. Can you use the Gemara? Rabbi Achava Isha tells us that although the Megillah was written for this Saita, you can use it for the other Saita. Says the Gemara, lastly, Rabbi Achava Isha, does he not hold of the Aloha, the Snan that we find in the following Mishnah? Kosav Gate, Ligaris Yishtay. Person wrote a gate to divorce his wife. Venevlach had a change of heart. Umotze ben Irin, and a fellow resident, a landsman, met him. He says, perfect, you saved me time and effort. Can I use your gate? Motze ben Irin of Omar, he said, Shemcha kishmi, your name is exact like mine, v'shem ishtecha kishem ishti, our wives have the same name, I'd like to use your gate. Pasol l'garishvay. He cannot use that gate. Why? Because the Torah says, V'kosav lo sefer krisis. You meant to write it with the Isha in mind. You can't use the get that was written for the sake of another woman. The same thing here, says the Gemara. The Pasuk says, V'oso lo. He's meant to make it for her sake. Apparently, you have to have the right woman in mind. You can't go ahead and use the Pasha that was written for a different Isha. Says Marachi Hashta, how can you compare it? Hasam over there by get the kasav l'ksiv. The pasuk says, write it for her sake. But inan ksiv l'shma, we require that it be written with her in mind. Hacha, by the site over here, v'asav l'ksiv. Torah merely says, do it, make it, produce it for her. But inan asi l'shma, we require that it be done for her sake. Asiyo didam mechikahi. How do you do it for her sake? It's the mechika, it's the erasing into the water. Torah is not referring to the writing. So although it was written for the sake of somebody else, as long as you're erasing it, you're scrubbing it, rubbing it into the water, for the sake of this Isha, you have fulfilled the tzibur, the instruction of Va'asallah. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rab Acha Bar Chanina. Goloi v'yodua. It is revealed and known of name Misha Omar v'hoya Olam before Hashem created the world. She'em b'doyosh Ramei k'moysay. In the generation of Rameah, there was nobody like him in his clarity and depth in learning. If so, why didn't the halacha always follow, conclude like his opinion, his position? The reason is, not for lack of intellectual ability, just the opposite. His colleagues couldn't properly conclude based on his reasoning and his eloquent presentation. They couldn't conclude whether his final opinion is meant to be followed, as Rashi will explain. But just a second. So the Gemara says, the problem was, because he would present a reason for something which was really tummy, he would explain why it could be tar, meaning he would always explain the position of perhaps even his opponent. Meaning he would go ahead and encompass all the variables and all the positions and all the opinions. He had the ability. He would go ahead and take something which was tummy and explain why it should be tar. Umar l'ponim, and you explain it. Al tar tummy. On something which was really tar, he would say, look, it could be tummy. Umar l'ponim, explain it. So the word goes as follows. Sha'im al tummy tar. On something which was tummy, he would say it's tar. Umar l'ponim, and have the ability. Go ahead and present it eloquently. Al tar tummy. Likewise, something which is really tar, he would say, you know what, it's tummy. Umar upon him and present the reason for that. Let's see Rashi inside, three lines from the top. Al-Sayyid Dati, lo yachlu lahavin. His colleagues didn't have the ability to conclude, be'eze dvarv nechayinim, be'eze ein dvarv nechayinim. In which position that he presented, is he correct? And which words of his are not correct, meaning, when he deliberated through a topic, he would present all facets, all angles, so eloquently. So although he himself certainly concluded in accordance with one opinion, he had a position, he had a halacha, but the ones that went along for him, along with him, through this experience, they were presented already with all the various positions and opinions from all angles, with such eloquence and clarity. They didn't have the ability to decide any longer and to conclude that the way he concluded is the right and correct way, because he had already presented the opposing view with such eloquence. Says Rashi, Shayinoisen das miyushav ahagin, he would present such a proper and clear presentation, al ein halacha kalacha, something which is not really the halacha, with such eloquence and clarity, like something which is really meant to be the halacha. So therefore, they couldn't follow his conclusions. Continues the Gemara. Tana we learned, Loi Rav Meir Shmoy. His true name from birth wasn't actually Rav Meir. Elo Rav Nerai Shmoy. V'loma nikra Shmoy Rav Meir. Why was he called Rav Meir? Shehu Meir Einei Chacham Balacha. Because he would enlighten the eyes of Chachamim in matters of halacha by presenting them with this clarity and depth which would enlighten their perspective. Continues the Gemara. There was another Tana whose name was Rabbi Nerai. There as well, that wasn't his real name. V'loi Rabbi Nerai Shmoy. That wasn't his true name. Elo Rabbi Nechemi Shmoy. His real name was Rabbi Nechemi. V'amala, some say it was Rabbi Lezban Arach Shmoy. If so, V'loma Nikur Shmoy Nehoi Rai. For a similar reason. Shemanir Einei Chacham Balocha. Nehoi Rai, like Manir, enlightened. He would enlighten the eyes of the Chachamim in matters of halacha by adding clarity and depth. So Rabbi Meir is a lashon of Meir, and the Rai is a lashon of Manir. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rebbe, Haide Mechadadna Mechavroi. You know why I'm sharper than my friends? The Chaziti El Ramei Machare. Because I viewed Rameir from behind. So when Rebbe was young and he learned Torah by Rameir, he wasn't old enough to have the privilege of sitting in front of him. He was positioned behind him, and he would view him from behind. And that was enough to add to his sharpness and mental capabilities. If I would have been zoicha to actually sit before him, to see his face, have a machadad natvei, I would have been even more sharper. Your eyes should view your teacher, as Marsha says, it adds to your learning experience, the gestures and the facial expressions of the Rebbe add a lot, contribute a lot to the learning experience. So one is meant to actually view and see his Rebbe. Continues the Gemara. Omar Ravo Rav Yechonon. Talmud Hoyilid Rameya. V'sumchas Shmoy. There was a certain Talmud that Rameya had, his name was Sumchas, that actually seemed to carry on Rameya's approach to learning. Shoyimer al kol davar davar shel tuma. In any matter of tuma, any halacha, he would say, Arboim Shmoy Natamit Tuma. He would present 48 reasons for it being tamei. I'll call davar davar shel tahara. Likewise, anything which was tahara, he would give 48 reasons for that. Arba mishmoyna tamei tahara. Tana, we learned Talmud Vasa Koyi B'Yavne. There was this veteran Talmud in Yavne, Shoye Metaris Asheretz B'Meyev Achamishim Tam. He would present 150 different reasons to purify Asheretz, to explain why these Sheretz, this lizard, for instance, is not metame, and we know that there are 8 shvatzim in Torah that are metame. He'd present 150 reasons to be metired. Tosis asks, what's the big deal to go be metired something where the Torah specifically says it's tame? So Tosis has a whole explanation. He wasn't referring to actually being metame entire sheretz, but merely discussing a certain aspect of the tumah of the sheretz, which he presented as being Torah based on these 150 reasons. Amar Avina, ani adon v'atarenu. I will present a reason, a kavah chomer, which can actually prove that a sheret should be tar. Why? Uma nachash. Since we find that, although the nachash, a snake, shememis, he kills, umar betumah, introduces, increases tumah in the world. Nevertheless, the nachash is not one of the shvatzim, he's still tar. So certainly a sheret, she'ein memis, who doesn't kill, umar betumah, he doesn't increase, doesn't introduce more tumah into the world. So he's not a catalyst for tumah, like koshkein. Isn't it certain that he should not be tummy? So this is a kavu chaymer to serve as a basis for tahara of sheretz. Says more, actually not. V'loi, this kavu chaymer can be refuted. Because you said the nachash kills and brings tumah. Masa koitz ba'al mukavet. He's merely acting like doing an act of a kites. A kites is a thorn, which can theoretically kill as well. So this nachash is merely acting like a kites. Nobody's going to say a kites is increasing tumah, is a catalyst for tumah. He's merely being used as an agent, as a tool to kill. Same thing with the nachash. He himself is not bringing about, introducing tumah to the world. So although he inserts the venom, but he's merely being used as an agent by Hashem. The Gemara Brachos tells us, it's not the creature that kills, it's the chet, it's the aver that kills. So the nachash is merely being used as an agent. But he himself is not increasing any tumah in the world. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rab Abba Amar Shmo, Shaleishanim Nechlaku, Beisham Beisil. So there was a machlekes between Hashem and Sil going on for 3 years. Halalu Oimrim, these would say Halacha Kemoisenu. The Halacha is meant to conclude like our position. Halalu Oimrim, these would say Halacha Kemoisenu. The Halacha is meant to follow us. Until there was a baskel, Yotzes a baskel v'amra. So the heavenly voice rung out and said, Elu ve'elu, Divrel Kimchaim. These and these are both expressions of the words of the living Hashem. Elu ve'elu, Divrel Kimchaim, Heim Halacha Kemoisil. However, the Halacha follows the Shita Besil. Now, how can it be that all positions and opinions are expressions of Hashem's word? So the Tzfash explains that the Gemara means as follows. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Hashem presented him, showed him all these various positions on all sides of the argument. Tamei Tor, Mutar, Asur, Chayav Patur, many different positions and shitas, different svaras, different perspectives. And he left it up to the Chachmi Hadar. He told Moshe it's going to depend on the Chacham of each generation to determine and conclude the Halacha based on their abilities, on their Chachma, their intellectual abilities, and their formulas. So really, all these svaras and positions are rooted in Hashem's wisdom. They have credibility. They are Divrei Elokim Chayim. Although, when it comes to Halacha L'maisa, we may not follow all those positions. Nevertheless, they are considered to be Divrei Elokim Chayim. Rashi Ksubis actually explains that many angles to a debate all have credibility, meaning when one has one position as opponent, a different position, in reality, they're all saying something true. But when it comes to Halacha L'maisa, it depends on the context. There are many factors and variables which influence Halacha L'maisa. We can't apply that good svara to this case because in this context, it won't apply. But perhaps this reason, this rationale, can be applied elsewhere. There's a line from the Rogatchev Goyen in Europe. He used to say that a Havamina in Gemara, when the Gemara has a Havamina, shall we say this? And the Gemara concludes, no. We learned even the Havamina. So he says, why? Because even the Havamina is Torah, and he says that the Havamina, although perhaps it doesn't apply here, because we change our mind, we revert from that approach, we conclude differently, but that Havamina can be applied elsewhere in Shas. Look around, you'll find many times something which doesn't work in this Gemara will work elsewhere. So even the Havamina is technically part of Hashem's Torah. The Chida adds that in order to gain proper clarity, to arrive at the proper clarity and proper conclusion in Halacha, you must go through all the phases and stages and steps back and forth. And the Machlokes, the debate, the give and take, actually adds to clarity, actually leads to further clarity, the true depth, the proper conclusion, understanding of Torah. So really everything is part and parcel of the process of learning Torah. So in any case, getting back to the Baskel, which said, Eilu ve'eilu diru l'kim chayim, v'alokim v'silu, asked the Gemara, but 1 second, if both Beisham and Beisil's words are diru l'kim chayim, why was Beisil zoiche that Halacha follows their positions? V'chim ha'achar, she'eilu ve'eilu diru l'kim chayim, if that's the case, v'pnei ma zochu, Beisil l'kboya Halacha k'moysam. Why was Beisil zoiche that the Halacha follows their positions? And the reason is not on account of their intellectual superiority. Actually, the Gemara Yevamos tells us that Beisham were mechadet titfei. They were sharper than Beisil. So why then? Because they were pleasant and tolerant and humble. So their midas, their character traits were more developed and superior, and that's why they were zeich. So they were noichen v'aluvin. V'shenin divrei v'diri v'shamay. When they would have a debate with Beisham, they would actually present Beisham's opinion as well. They would relate to the words of Beisham. They would say, look, we know this is what you're saying, but this is the reason why we can't agree with you. So it wasn't a personal dispute, Chas v'Shalom. They accorded great personal honor and respect to Beis Shammai. They actually related to their position. They repeated their position of Beis Shammai and explained why they differ. So that's what it means. They would state their own opinion, and also they would relate, make mention of the words of Beis Shammai and explain why they differ. Not only that, Elo Shemagdimin. When they would have their narrative, they would actually precede Beis Shammai's words to their words. As we find in the following Mishnah. So the person sitting, his head, most of his body is in the sukkah. So he's mostly in a sukkah, but his table is outside. His table is in the covered roof in the home. Can one eat in that manner? Beis Shammai personally said it's no good. There's a concern he might actually turn around to his table and eat in the house. They say it's okay. There's no such a concern. So Beis Hillel presented to Beis Shammai the following story. Wasn't this the narrative of the following story? And the elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went. So stop for a moment. We see right here that when they presented their argument, they preceded Beis Shammai to themselves. They said Zikne Beis Shammai, and only then Zikne Beis Hillel. So we see that tremendous humility in their presentation. In any case, getting back to the Mishnah here. So Beis Hillel is speaking and saying, look, the elders of Beis Shammai still went Levaka to visit as Rabbi Yochanan ben Charanus. Umatsu, they found him sitting in this manner. Yoshev. He was sitting Roishev Ruba Besukah. And his table was in the house. So you see, that's okay. Because they didn't protest. Omulan Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai responded, Misham Raya. You're bringing a Raya from there. Actually, the correct version of events was as follows. Afhein Omulan. Actually, they did tell him. If this is the way you always conducted yourself, sitting in this manner with your table in the house, you've never properly completed and fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah. In any case, we see from here that Beis Hillel were very humble and they were makdim Beis Shammai to themselves. Ask the Maharal, why is this related to halacha l'maisa? We say, well, Beis Hillel was zeicha that the halacha was established based on their positions and opinions. Why? Because they had better midas. What's the connection between superior midas to Torah, to the halacha, which is seems to be dependent on intellectual abilities? Says the Maharal, very simple. Because when a person is worked through, he's humble, he's shuffle, he's noyach, he's aluf, he has positive character traits, then inside his, in his position, his arguments, there's nothing personal. It's merely for the pursuit of the true understanding of the Torah. There's personal agenda, personal desire swaying his opinion. It's merely just the pursuit of clarity, for the sake of clarity, for the sake of the Chachmat Hashem. So this indeed ensures, good midas ensure, that a person will indeed arrive at the proper clarity and proper conclusion. And that's why, indeed, the halacha followed Beis Hillel's position. So this all teaches you the fact that Beis Hillel was zoicha due to the fact that they were mashpel self, they conduct themselves humbly. This teaches us shekola mashpel atzmai, one who lowers himself. Hakadosh Baruch Hu magbi Hashem will lift him up. V'chola magbi atzmai, and conversely, a person lifts himself. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mashpil Hashem will lower him, bring him down. V'chola machazer hagdula, and if a person pursues honor and high stature, what happens? Gdula barachas mimenu, gdula yivetim. But v'chol abareach m'gdula, a person who runs away from gdula, gdula machzeres achrav, gdula runs after him, and eventually he will be accorded honor. V'chol adoichek sasho, a person seeks to push the hour, shodach kasei, the hour will push him away. It means it's like a person who's pursuing success and wealth and sees, you know, it's not going. He's not being successful in his endeavor. And he proceeds, he's unyielding. He proceeds unrelentlessly in the pursuit of his goal. He doesn't wait for the proper time. He's derech sasha. He's doomed to failure. Shah derech kasi, the shah pushes him away. One who allows himself to be pushed away by the hour, he waits for the proper time. He proceeds with humility. He's easygoing. He's not insistent on success, on achieving immediate success. What happens? Eventually, he'll be successful if it's meant to be. Shah immediately. The Shah will stand by his side. Let's see Rashi inside. It's right in the middle of the Amud. Beginning with the words Hadoichik Sasha. So Rashi describes as follows. Misyageya Hashem. He endeavors, he pursues wealth. Misyageya Lahashem is Gadol. He works hard to attain greatness and wealth. Vereshen Maslit. He sees he's not being successful. Va'ava Bekein. He doesn't give up. Choyze Ba'ilchum Archakim. He traveled at far distances. Omachens Asmoy Legvoyes. And puts himself into these big commitments and positions here, and he really goes all out to achieve success. And Mar tells us that's not the proper way. But if he allows things to proceed naturally, Shah medus lachazman. After some time, Asida Lama de Shah Matzlachas. Ishah of Hatzlacha will stand by his side if it is meant to be. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanon, Shtei Shana Mechza. For 2.5 years, Nechelku Beisham Yisrael, there was this machlekes between Hashem and Yisrael as follows. Halalu Oimrin, these would say, Beisham would say, things are meant to be the way they're meant to be. Noyach Leilu Adar Shalai Nivra, it would be better for a person if he was not created. Yoyse Mish Nivra, it would be better uncreated rather than created. A person is full of deficiencies and inconsistencies, he doesn't treat perfection. It's not the way it's meant to be. He'd be better off uncreated. That was the Shita Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, despite the fact that he's incomplete and deficient, it's better for the person that he was created. That's better than if he would have been left uncreated. So although a person doesn't really achieve perfection, he does what he can do. It's the effort that counts. So whatever he does is okay. Better that he was created. Nimnu v'gamru. They took count and they concluded, like Beis Shammai, Noyach Leilu Adam Shalai Nivra, Yosef Shanivra. It would be better for a person if he was left uncreated. Ach Shav Shanivra, however, now that he was actually created, make the best of it. Yifash V'Shamaisav, one is meant to examine his deeds, see if there's something wrong to do tshuva. But Amr, some say, Yimash V'Shamaisav, one is meant to weigh the effect, the consequences of his actions. Let's take a look at Rashi, which is 24 lines from the bottom. So meant to examine what he did, the things that he already did. Take a look. If you find some averus, do vida v'yoshev, and he should do tshuva. Away his deeds, that's referred to the future. If a person is presented with a mitzvah, and it involves effort and difficulty, a person is meant to apply a mental scale. Yechashev hefsid mitzvah, you should see what's the loss that's involved? Keneged schara, and put it against the tremendous reward that will be coming him as a result of the mitzvah. And he shouldn't neglect doing the mitzvah due to the hefsin involved. Shari schara said lavai, because he's going to experience great reward as a result. That's worth it. Same thing regarding avera. Being bosli al avera, if a person is presented with an assign, a pitfall of an avera, he should stop and think for a second. Apply that mental scale. You should see, look, what is the momentary pleasure that I'm going to experience in the moment, and apply that negative seder in contrast to the tremendous loss due to the einish, the grave consequence which will result from this aver. So that's the two approaches. Yechashiv shemaisa is referring to the past, and yemashmesh referring to the future. Since the Shom actually says that one is referring to Averis, Yifashvesh, take a look and see if there's anything wrong and get rid of it, do tshuva. Yimashvesh is referring to the positive deeds. So he compares it to a merchant who sells material. Yimashvesh means feel the material, see if it has high quality. So a person is meant to take a look at his mitzvahs, at his learning, at his davening, and be mamashvesh, feel it through and through, see what it's made of, what is the nature of one's mitzvahs? Is he really being meticulous about the performance of mitzvahs? Are they high quality production? So the point of a mashmish is to increase and to improve the observance of one's mitzvahs. It's time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began discussing the halacha of the mavoi, where there was a certain Talmud who says, well, it depends how large the mavoi is. We have a machlekes Rishamai require lechi v'kayre, but still say one or the other. So this Talmud quoted Rishmal saying, well, if it's a small mavoi, all agree lechi v'kayre is not needed. One or the other is enough. And Rabbi Akiva negated that opinion. The Gemara proceeded to tell us that the Talmud was actually Rabbi Meir, who began with Rabbi Akiva, proceeded to Rabbi Shmuel to learn the Mishnayos, to get everything clear, and then was ready for the next level of depth, of Rabbi Akiva's depth, and very, very involved learning. So then he proceeded to Rabbi Akiva and learned from him. We discussed the idea of putting kankantim into the joy, which prevents it from getting erased. There was one sheet that says you can't apply this type of joy to the entire Torah. We had another shita which says you cannot apply it in a case where you actually need to erase it for the Saita, whether it's the Parsha of the Torah, whether it's a specific Parsha which was written for this specific issue. The Gemara told us about two disputes. The Machlaik is regarding using the Parsha of Saita written in the Sefer Torah to feed a Saita. The Zana Machlaik is regarding a Megillah which was already written with one issue in mind. Can that be diverted and used for a different issue? The Gemara told us the Rav Meir had such depth and clarity in learning, even his chaverim were not yoreh the seif daita. They couldn't figure out if they're meant to conclude in accordance with his conclusion, because he had the ability and he actually did present so many variables, so many different perspectives, and they couldn't figure out whether the way he actually concluded was the correct one. The Gemara tells us that he was named Rav Meir because he would enlighten the eyes of the chacham in matters halacha. Likewise, Rav Nirai would do the same by enlightening the eyes of the Chacham Bahalacha. The Gemara tells us that there's an advantage to actually taking a look, seeing your Rebbe, Vayu Necha Reis Merecha. The Gemara tells us that there was a basko that rung out from heaven, Eilu Ve'elu Divel Kim Chaim, in reference to Beisham Beisilil's words. However, the Halacha follows Beisilil. The Gemara tells us why. Due to their superior midas, the fact that they were Neichen Ba'aluvin, they were pleasant and tolerant, they were humble. The way they conducted themselves specifically, the way they related to Beis Shammai, they would make reference to Beis Shammai's words, they would accord honor, respect, personal honor to Beis Shammai. They actually proceeded when they mentioned Beis Shammai to their own, to Beis Hillel. The Gemara tells us that one is not meant to be doichik sashah, to push, to be unyielding when things aren't going, just wait until things work out. And finally, the Gemara tells us that a person, once he's around and created, make sure to do things right. Yifashmish b'maisav. And some say, yimashmish b'maisav.